Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Following the introduction by Dr. Bob Jones III, our speaker will be Dr. Kevin Shaw, pastor of Northwest Valley Baptist Church in Glendale, Arizona. The title of his message is Developing a Christian Worldview. The text is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 17.
Our chapel speaker, Pastor Kevin Shaw, is one of a group of young men that God is raising up to take their place in the ranks of Bible Christianity as a dynamic church. He was introduced formally yesterday, so I'll not take any more of his time, but I admire him and I thank God for him. We have a number of students here from the church. I know you're excited to have your pastor, and we are too. We thank you for your ministry. It was used of God yesterday. Yeah, I was not able to be here. I was away, but sure do look forward to hearing you today. Pastor Shaw, please come.
If you open your Bibles with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning verse 8 says this, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that we are supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto Christ. And that is accomplished by the renewing, the transforming of our minds, the changing the way that we think. One of the reasons that you came to a Christian college, whether you understood it or not, one of the reasons you came to a Christian college is so that you could gain a Christian worldview. Christians are not supposed to view the world in the same way that everybody else does. We're supposed to view everything differently. But what I'm finding today is that Christians don't generally have a Christian worldview. Their worldview is almost entirely secular, and then they just try to plug their Christianity into their secular concept of the world. But we desperately need young people who will think life through, both on a personal level and on a greater philosophical level. Young people will think through, what should a Christian be thinking about the way that I live my life every day? What should I be thinking about my entertainment? What should I be thinking about the way that I spend my time? What should I be thinking about my occupation? And then, of course, that ought to expand into greater things. What should Christians think about things like war and terrorism and hunger and poverty? What does the Bible say about that? You say, well, I have a pretty good opinion about these types of things. I have my opinion about the way things ought to be. You know, a Christian worldview isn't a Christian's viewpoint of the world. Now, I want you to think this through for a moment. A Christian worldview is God's viewpoint of the world. It's not what do I think as a Christian, but it's what does God think? In Ephesians chapter 5, it says that we are supposed to discern or understand what the will of the Lord is. We're supposed to walk circumspectly. We're supposed to live a way that is different. We're supposed to prove what is acceptable unto God and reprove the hidden works of darkness. We must change the way that we think. Now, Christians don't often have a Christian worldview. I think there's a lot of reason for that. We have a secular society that does not encourage deep thinking about anything. It's experience that we're after these days. From the automobile commercials on television to the philosophy in the secular universities, it is experience first, intuition over intellectual thought. But as young people, you need to think things through. There's some of you that are going out into the business world. And unless you have developed a Christian worldview concerning your particular area of business, you will utterly fail. You see, a lot of you have grown up in Christian homes, Christian schools. I was saved at the age of 6 years old. Went to a public school for a few years. Graduated from high school in a Christian school. Came to a Christian college. Went to seminary. I've been in a Christian environment all of my life. And you know what's very easy to do? Rather than trying to determine what God thinks, in those early years, you just do what mom and dad want. And then you add to what mom and dad want, you add what your Christian school teachers want. You add what your pastor wants. You come away to a Christian college, and then it's what Dr. Bob wants. It's what your professors want. It's what Dean Miller wants. And so you spend your life conforming to the desires of those around you. And you say, you know, finally, their day will come when I'll graduate from a Christian college. And then when I graduate from Christian college, it'll finally be what I want. Can I tell you, it won't? It'll be what your employer wants. It'll be what your coworkers want. It'll be what your friends want. And you will spend your entire life conforming, whether to the Christian world around you or to the secular world around you. You have to start understanding what God wants. You need to walk as children of light. You need to walk on purpose. You need to make decisions in your life based upon what God wants. You know, I do believe for the faculty and the staff of the university here, that is their heart's desire for you. Not just to conform to what they say. To be transformed so that you are thinking in every area of your life what God wants. And as you walk out of this place, you'll have a depth of character that will transform those around you. Now, how do we do that? Well, Ephesians chapter 5 talks about this. It talks about walking as children of light. Verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. How do I do that? We're just going to flash through this passage quickly. I don't have much time to do it, but we're going to flash through this passage quickly and take a look at some of the steps that the Apostle Paul has given us in the book of Ephesians concerning developing a Christian worldview that transforms itself into a Christian walk for a truly mature believer in Jesus Christ. He says, first of all, that you ought to prove what is acceptable unto God. You ought to prove what is acceptable unto God. We never simply assume what is acceptable unto God. Some don't bother to ask. If God doesn't like it, then let him tell me, is the attitude. Some think that God will be pleased with anything. They're like the little boy in the old Life commercial, Mikey likes it. You know, Mikey will eat anything. So they just assume, well, God will just be pleased with everything. I have a responsibility to prove in my life what is acceptable. You talk about things like you're making choices concerning you're going to be going home. I shouldn't say this word. You're going to be going home for Christmas soon. And you're going to be making choices when you go home. And some of you have all kinds of plans. You have plans for the movies that you're going to watch, the videos that you're going to rent, the radio that you're going to turn on, the tapes that you're going to listen to, because you have been for so many months isolated in this place, away from all of that stuff that has been so much a part of your life. I'm not deceived. I understand that. I understand that there are many of you thinking about doing that. And you'll say in your mind, but you know, it really doesn't hurt me. I know Dr. Carlock will come and he'll preach about music. But you know, I can listen to this stuff. And folks, I'm not even talking about contemporary Christian music. Because some of you, that's not what you're longing for. It's the other stuff. It's the stuff that's the world's garbage. And so you're saying, but you know, I can listen to it and I can enjoy it and it won't hurt me. Folks, that's not the point. The point is, does it honor God? That's the point. I could take one of these young men down here in the front row, one of them that are awake, and we could have a conversation after chapel, and we could get together and we could say, you know, what do you think about Dr. Bob? And he could tell me some of the things, and I could start talking about how I, you know, I'm a short guy and how I dislike really tall people and how they make their pulpits too tall for you to preach in. Things like that. We could start complaining back and forth about how I don't like it. You know, there's a sense in which I could walk away thinking, you know, I'm not hurt by that. But that's not the point. It's sin against Him. It dishonors Him. My life is not about what is good for me. My life is about what honors my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My life is not about what pleases me. My life is about proving what is acceptable unto God and implementing that in my life. I am not my own. I am bought with a price. What are the big frustrations that pastors face today? And you'll see it across the country as you go out. Some of you young men going out in the ministry is a consumer mentality in the Christian world. I'll come to church, and if you can offer me what I like, then I'll take it. If not, I'll count the cost. I'll go to the next place. It isn't about what you can get. It's about what you can give to others. It's about what you can do for God. Proving what is acceptable unto God. Then it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove. Interesting two words here together. Prove is the idea to test, to determine what is acceptable. The idea of reprove is to bring to the light, to bring to the surface. I not only have a responsibility to prove what is acceptable unto God, to determine what is right before God, but I also have a responsibility to reprove, to determine what is not acceptable unto God, bring it to the surface. One of the most ridiculous public policies that was ever developed in the United States happened in the early 90s in the American military called Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The whole idea was this. We don't really want to know the truth, and we don't really want to deal with the truth, so we're going to try to ignore the truth about certain people in the military. It's absolutely silly. There are folks out there that the idea, I don't want to know. I just don't want to know what God doesn't like. And so I want to go on in my life blissfully ignorant. But the responsibility of a believer is to make determinations, determine especially what is obnoxious to God, bring it to the surface, declare it as such, and get it out. You say, oh, this is, there's another one of these fundamentalists. They're preaching all this stuff, all this negative stuff. It's right there. It's in the Bible. If you're going to believe it about your salvation, then you better believe it about your sanctification. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Don't dwell on it. Bring it up. Declare it as sin. Move it out and move on with your life. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The Holy Spirit will give us understanding as we apply the Word of God to the various areas of our lives. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. I'm supposed to prove. I'm supposed to reprove. I'm supposed to walk with an awareness around me. The idea of circumspectly is with an awareness around me. I am going, I just told Dr. Bob before chapel, in 3 days I'm going elk hunting. And for those of you from the Western United States, you have an appreciation for that. Elk, I mean, that's a great thing to be able to do. But when you go out hunting, you walk circumspectly. Because the animal doesn't usually just show up where you want him to show up. You've got to be aware all around. You've got to be looking. And that's the type of way in which we must live our life according to Ephesians chapter 5. We must be looking around us all the time, discerning the will of God concerning everything that is around, understanding that there are those things that will come into our life that are sent up Satan to destroy, or at least will be distractions. And so we need to walk circumspectly, not as fools, not ignorantly going on, pretending like there's no problem when there are problems,
but is wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The idea of that word redeem is the same concept of the word that's used when we talk about the concept of redemption, to buy back, to take back. I believe the idea of this verse very simply is this: unless you determine to buy back the days of your life for the purpose of living godly and for the purpose of walking for the Lord and doing and living for the Lord, unless you determine that you are going to give yourself to Him every day of your life, you will lose it. The days left to themselves are evil. They're lost. I turned 40 years old this year. Now, I know for you, that seems like forever, but it also seems like it just wasn't that long ago I was sitting back there on aisle two. The days fly by. And I think to myself as I read this verse, how many of my life have been wasted? And what would God have done with those days had they simply been surrendered to Him? You've got a life to invest. But like I said yesterday, you're not going to live 70 years or 80 years. You're going to live forever. Yet these days are so valuable in your service for the Lord. So develop that Christian view. Be transformed. Walk as children of light. God absolutely demands it of you. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with Spirit. You say, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can live this way. I've been trying for so long. I've been working so hard at it, and it just seems like I can't get it in my life. You know, I've been trying to have these devotions. Everybody tells me I need to have devotions in order to be pleasing to God. So I get up in the morning and I read these things. But, you know, sometimes I sleep in. Sometimes I wake up with the page stuck to my face. You know, I've been trying to be the kind of witness, and there is an absolute frustration. Can I tell you something? You can no more sanctify yourself than you could save yourself. Salvation, regeneration, is a work of the Holy Spirit, and sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. There's a simple principle that I got a long time after I was in ministry. So I used to think that if I was, you know, I could be kind of filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thought of the filling of the Holy Spirit as, you know, it's that cup. If you take that cup and you kind of fill it halfway up, and you know, there, most of the time I was, you know, halfway filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit had control of, you know, a lot of areas in my life, but, you know, not all the areas. And every day I do a little bit better and better, and I was trying to become filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, when it's talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit there, it's not talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit as in the process of being filled up. It's talking about being full. It's the condition of being absolutely filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the idea. In any given moment, I'm either filled or I'm not. He either has me or He doesn't. If you think of it this way, you're driving down the road and the Holy Spirit is sitting in the car beside you. You're driving, you have your hands on the steering wheel. And so you decide, I'm going to come under control of the Holy Spirit. And so what I say is, Holy Spirit, you tell me where to go. I'm under control of the Holy Spirit. No. What you're doing is you're saying, Holy Spirit, you tell me where to go, and then I'll decide if I'm going to go that way or not. That's not being under control of the Holy Spirit. Well, there's some say, okay, I get a little bit more spiritual. What I'll do is I'll take one hand and put it on the wheel on this side, and I'll let the Holy Spirit take another hand and put it on the wheel on the other side, and together we will drive down the road of life under control of the Holy Spirit. That's schizophrenic. It doesn't work. What I have to do is let Him get in this driver's seat and go where He leads me to go. Allow Him to do in my life what He leads me to do in my life. You say, well, I'm worried about it. You know, I can't do it tomorrow, and then there's a weekend. I've got months and years to try to live for the Lord, and I just don't know if I can do about that. There's another simple principle that really helped me. I need to worry about being filled with the Holy Spirit in this moment. I'll let the next moment worry about itself. Worry about doing God's will, being surrendered to what the Spirit of God has for me in this moment. Are you living for Him right now? Has He transformed the way that you think? Or is your thinking just conformed to your surroundings? It will continue to be so. Unless you learn to reprove, prove, walk circumspectly, redeem the time, and be empowered by the Holy Spirit in all of that. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and Your care and Your concern, and for the way in which You change us, the way in which You transform us, the way in which You draw us unto Yourself. Lord, I pray for these young people. I pray that You'll transform their lives. Lord, I pray that You'll give them guidance based upon the Holy Scripture to face the things that they'll face as they go out into this world and come up with a very clear view of what You think about politics and business and Christian ministry and family ministry and all kinds of things that they will face in the future, maybe things that we've not yet faced. Lord, I pray that You'll use these young people to change the world.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Kevin Shaw, pastor of Northwest Valley Baptist Church in Glendale, Arizona. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.